he had a high startle point. When the phone on the hotel nightstand rang at 3 a.m, John Phillips muted the TV, lifted the receiver, and spoke a crisp, "Yes, sir."
"Go. You know the parameters."
Phillips dropped the receiver back into the cradle and got off the bed. He yawned, yanked down his briefs, and padded into the bathroom. He stood before the toilet, brushing his teeth and pissing into the center of the bowl. He shook, spat, flushed, and stepped into the shower. John Phillips grew up in the Philadelphia suburb of Mayfield Park. His father had little to do with him past the point of conception. Dad worked 60 to 80 hours a week as the CEO of a chemical company, affording John a stay-at-home mom who coddled her only child. John began walking and talking earlier than most children. He could read and comprehend newspaper articles at the age of 3. His mother enrolled him in a private school for gifted children, where he excelled. But at the age of 14, John turned sullen and contemptuous. He hated his teachers and classes. He hated the neighbor's yapping, faggy little Pomeranian. The dog disappeared one day. At the age of 14, John Phillips hated his parents, people of color, those with disabilities, everyone on welfare, liberals, Catholics, Muslims, Jews, and most of all, he hated those godless sodomites. At 15, Phillips dropped his old friends and made new buddies who taught him how to mug, carjack, burgle, and fence. He learned how to use a gun and how to throw a knife. Phillips found himself mesmerized by the underbelly of the City of Brotherly Love, where nothing ever seemed too odd or horrific. Concerned about her son's contempt and the new friends he brought home, John's mother had long talks with him. He didn't change. His father yelled at him, grounded him, and slapped him around. Nothing changed. Bribery came next. No change. His mother took him to a noted child psychologist. John enjoyed mind-fucking the shrink, but he didn't change. Against his mother's wishes, John's father shipped their son off to a military academy. As if a breaker switch had been snapped back on, John returned to being an obedient son and straight-A student. A few months after John turned 16, two of the academy's senior cadets vanished. Rumors about the young men's relationship had been circulating across campus. No one ever found the cadets or their bodies. At 16, John Phillips knew with certainty that he enjoyed killing men, but only men. He held to this particular honor code: no women or children. Phillips stepped out of the shower, toweled off, and wiped the mirror. He lathered up, held a straight-edge razor under the hot tap water, and began to shave the two-day stubble off his ordinary-looking face. Masterful at altering his appearance and blending into any crowd, he was of average height, weight, and build. His hazel eyes appeared more gray than green or brown, eyes that always stayed cool and intent like those of a cat. Phillips dressed in jeans, sport shirt, and walking shoes. He pulled a new identification packet from his luggage. After breakfast, he'd drive out of Vegas for the City of Angels, or, alternatively, the City of Angles, since most Angelinos played at least one. John Phillips wiped down the room. This has been an excerpt from Errors and Omissions by Lee James, narrated by Brian Rollins, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The audiobook is available now on Audible, Amazon, and iTunes.